What's up, Fanatics? Time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. A new one here today on CycloneFanatic.com. This is the Ask CW podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry, and I'm joined by CW.
Hey, what's
Chris
up?
Williams. What's up, dude?
This is good to not host.
Yeah.
Like, I like being in the two chair for once.
Even though you're still in the number one chair.
Well, I mean, this is the, yeah, I'm the one behind this side of the desk, but you're right in the one chair. This is your world.
Yeah, I guess I am in control, am I? Aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Just roll with it. I want to apologize in advance where you might hear me. I'm going to try not cough into the mic. I'm fighting through it today, man.
At least you've got your coffee.
I've got my coffee. I'm very rarely will you ever see me in sweats.
Yeah, we're both in sweats today.
I see you in sweats a lot, though. Like, it's kind of your jam. You'll go out in public in sweats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go to work or in sweats.
No, but it's like you have like stylish sweats.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, my upbringing as a basketball player and stuff like that, I feel like I can pull it off.
You can pull it off. I can't. If I walk around in sweats, people are like, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
He's sick.
So I'm not feeling great, but I'm ready for this this podcast. This is fun because that way we always try and incorporate our readers and listeners and whatnot. And this is raw, so I haven't seen any of these questions.
No, I've compiled a list of questions from Twitter, from the forums as well. It ranges. It's got a pretty wide range.
Okay,
I think you're gonna be excited about this.
Before we do that, should we? Did you watch the game last night?
Most definitely I watched
it. Oh, my gosh.
It was outstanding.
Yeah, I was sitting there. So I had taken like some NyQuil or something.
I waited till after the game to take mine.
I think I took it at halftime.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, and this will kick in and all. And I thought Oklahoma was going to get killed.
Yeah.
In fact, we were exchanging text messages like, man, when they got down like 8 in the first half, you and I were both, oh, this thing's over.
Right.
Stick a fork in them.
Yep.
And then, man, I was so impressed with both of the teams, but especially Oklahoma, even on a losing end. Like, Kansas has so much more depth than they do, and they just kept trucking.
Dude, it's crazy to think. I was watching the game, and especially kind of in the tail end of the second half and then through the three overtimes, it's hard to believe that both teams reached 100 points because I thought both teams played really good defense.
Yeah.
And,
no, you're right.
And
Oklahoma's deceivingly really good on D.
Right, and for both teams, every shot they got, they had to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they made them anyway. And that's the way basketball is supposed to be.
Yeah.
The way that game was last
that
night.
That was a clinic. Buddy Hield, some of the shots that guy is hitting are...
He's on another world right now.
Well, that and Bloom and I were having this discussion the other night about him and the NBA. I would love to have him on. I'm a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
I'd love for Freddie to get Buddy Hield on that roster.
I'm sure Fred would be down for that too.
I mean, I don't know if he's probably not the next Kobe Bryant or anything, but that's a guy who's just a scorer, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're going to see him get even better as kind of into that distributor role a little bit more as we get along through the season, because you're going to see now more teams are going to put a lot more emphasis on him defensively, even though they were putting a lot of emphasis on him defensively to begin with.
Yeah.
When a guy drops almost 50 points on the number one team in the nation on the road, yeah, you're going to draw some attention.
Well, like you said, a lot of the shots he was hitting were tough.
Right.
You know, he wasn't getting wide open looks. Yeah, I was so impressed. That was a great night for the Big 12, too.
Yeah. The atmosphere, dude, was insane.
Yeah, if there are any questions about the top league in the sport, I mean, I think last night. And then if you look at, in addition to that, what Iowa State did to Oklahoma, taking them down to the wire, I can't wait to just that triangle of teams.
It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a really fun conference season.
Yeah, it definitely is. And then even before that one in West Virginia TCU, both of those teams impressed me at times. You know, West Virginia is going to continue to try and muck it up every single night out.
Yeah.
But
I didn't watch that game.
Yeah, I think.
Tell me what happened.
Well, it was close for a while, but then there was actually like a technical foul that got called on Chris Washburn for TCU, and that was kind of all where it just like snowballed and fell apart for him, and West Virginia ended up pulling away. But there was over 50 fouls with like 9 minutes left in the game.
Wow.
And over 40 turnovers.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was not exactly pretty, but pretty much what you can expect for a West Virginia game.
Yeah, I'm a little bit – I haven't really watched much West Virginia. I watched them play Virginia.
Yeah.
But Virginia is such a weird style. Like, it's hard to take a lot of teams from teams when they play a Virginia. But they really, I mean, still West Virginia really hasn't beaten anybody, have they?
Right, and I think the guys on the teleconference Monday said it almost perfectly, that it's Bob Huggins' team.
Yeah,
you know, and all these guys that are playing now got their start last season when in those last couple games of the year when Staten and Gary Brown were both out, and the reporters asked, did you kind of see this coming, that they were going to be as good as they are? And they said, you know, I don't know how much it has to do with personnel or how much of it is it's just Bob Huggins.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to be tough to play.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who they're throwing out there. That's just because of the style of basketball they play.
So they're more back to the rugged Big E style this year?
Yeah. They're going to do their press, and they're going to go out, and they're going to try and bang with you. And like I said, muck it up every night out.
That'll be fun. My favorite Huggins moment was when he was at Hilton. It was their first year in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And he still had all these Big East players, like these big guys who couldn't run. And Fred just ran the hell out of them. And Huggins afterwards he was just priceless in his presser. Just like, we don't have the athletes to play at a place like this. We're not ready for this league.
Yeah.
Just very honest analysis from that guy.
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's fun. We got a lot of fun coaches, though. And I read in your lap around the conference, more Trent Johnson, gold. At TCU.
Trent Johnson is the greatest.
He's fantastic.
He's the greatest.
Him, and then you've got Scott Drew, who's a walking quote. He's really good.
Trent Johnson just continuously hates on his team.
He
does. His own team.
Yeah, he really does hate his team.
And
it's like, you're the one recruiting them, man.
Right. Well, and then they said something about moving into the new gym, and he's like, still haven't gotten used to it, can't make any shots, or something like that, and just makes some kind of snide little remark, and it's like,
I can't believe he's still employed.
Yeah.
I mean, I love him. I'm glad that he's still there. But I thought he would have gotten fired.
He's been in the Final Four before, hasn't he?
Well, at LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sounded like that Tim Floyd was going to get that job like 2-3 years ago. Because is he still at UTEP?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like he was going to get that job because he was trying to get back into the Big 12. But that obviously never surfaced. Maybe it will after this year.
Yeah.
And I know that Floyd was really pushing to get the Iowa State job too. This offseason.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have never happened.
I don't know about him getting back into the Big 12. I don't know that he would – I mean, he's a good coach. I like Tim Floyd. But he seems like he would fit well at UTEP. Might just be a good place to stay.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he's looking for one more paycheck and then retire in a couple of years.
Right. You ready to get going with these questions?
Yeah, let's knock these out. Let's go.
We start with a good friend, Mr. Ted Flint.
Oh, boy.
Chris,
these are on Twitter, because I put something up on the forum too.
This one's this first one comes from Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you when they come from Twitter, when they come from the forums.
Okay.
But Chris, can you explain to Jared how silly he sounds calling it Flippy Cup and not Flip Cup? I want to know your stance on this.
It's Flippy Cup.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's how we say it in Southwest Iowa.
Yeah. No, it's Flippy Cup.
Yeah. I don't know why Ted is always berating me about this.
Yeah, and he was. We had the Senator Marco Rubio on our KXNO show, and I specifically asked him this question.
And he said Flippy Cup too?
Man, I don't even remember, but I remember Ted was the one who wanted me to ask him that. He's obsessed with this.
Yeah,
I would say that you're fine, Jared.
Yeah, okay.
You don't need to worry about.
Okay.
Don't worry about Ted. Congrats on the engagement, by the way, Ted.
That's back to back podcasts in which Ted got a congrats.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We might need to knock him down a peg.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
We'll go to the forums for this one. From Jack Cyclone, is this the strongest the Big 12 has ever been in basketball?
As far as the, like, trying to win a regular season, probably because of the round robin. However, I do remember back in those McDermott years, it was really good. Mm-hmm. Back when, like, Kevin Durant was in the league and Blake Griffin and Kansas had when they had the Morris twins.
And Mizzou was good.
Missouri was like a top five team mm-hmm. 1 year. Pound for pound, talent wise, I think that era might have been better. However, you missed out. Like if you're Iowa State, you only had to play Texas once mm-hmm. when they had Durant. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant never played at Hilton Coliseum. But this year, though, like with the grind of the 18 games. And there's really, other than TCU's better than they were too.
Right.
And they're probably the worst team. As far as trying to get through an 18-game schedule, I think this is as tough as it's ever been. Even like Texas Tech, they're not bad now. I mean, trying to think of crappy teams. Top to bottom, I mean, TCU is really the only game with Iowa State where I could go, well, they should win on the road there.
Right.
Should they win at Texas Tech? Yeah, but we've seen a lot crappier Texas Tech teams beat Iowa State at home.
Yeah.
Even the bad teams, Kansas State's not very good, but Bromwich is brutal place to play.
Right.
I don't think West Virginia is great. I mean, I know a lot of people are high on them. To me, we'll see.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
But that's a brutal place to play. So the home court advantage, Oklahoma State without Forte isn't going to be very good now.
Yeah.
So they're probably the ninth best team after losing him.
Right. They don't have anybody, dude.
No, I know.
They looked at their roster yesterday.
And their home court advantage sucks.
Yeah.
So they may be worst.
Yeah.
They could get last in the league this year. But, I mean –
is that it for Travis Ford if they got last?
I mean, the only reason they've kept him around for a while is because of his buyout.
Yeah. Okay.
So – and he recruited well.
Yeah.
But I don't know how well he's recruiting now.
No. I mean, obviously not very well.
He's not getting the Ryan Nashes of the world. I mean, that was a big deal because Nash was a McDonald's All-American.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marcus Smart. And, man, I does that make sense, my answer?
Yeah.
It's more of a grind.
Yeah.
Pound for pound, talent-wise, I think it might have been better 10 years ago.
Right, because then when you think about 10 years ago, you had Nebraska, who was not very good. I mean, they could sneak up and beat you once in a while, but they –
Colorado sucked.
Yeah, Colorado was bad.
Because that was right before Boyle took them where they were kind of respectable.
Yeah. Even Baylor wouldn't have been that good at that point.
No, they were horrible.
Yeah.
They were horrible, and now Baylor is a perennial, you know.
A&M would have been good, though.
A&M was weird. They were good sometimes, and they played
– AC Law.
They played under Mark Turgeon a lot like –
DeAndre Jordan.
A lot like West Virginia does now, where you just knew you were in for a brawl.
Right.
Every time you played them.
Right.
So they weren't necessarily uber-talented, but they were
– I still remember when they played Kansas on game day. And then it was,
Texas A&M did?
Yeah, it was like a Saturday night game, Texas A&M, Kansas. Huge game,
man.
I think it was when AC Law was in school there.
AC Law was really good.
Yeah,
Turgeon was a really good coach. And then I'm trying to think of, the Bobby Knight era. I mean,
right at Texas Tech.
So they weren't bad.
Yeah,
I think that was probably a more talented era. However, I think this is way more of a grind.
Yeah,
with the round robin.
Okay, so there we go. That's
that's kind of riding the fence on that question, but that's my honest opinion.
Any concerns about Iowa State's depth considering Cook's recent struggles?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
that comes from
who asked that?
Timotheus on Twitter @Timotheus.
I think that I don't like doing this, but I think if Naz Long is playing, mm-hmm. Iowa State is either 13-0 or at least 12-1. They win the Oklahoma game if Naz Long plays. And I think they might have won the game against UNI. UNI was a little bit of an outlier because they were hitting shots out of their mind. Mm-hmm. And I give them more credit for that game than I do blame Iowa State. But I think they absolutely beat Oklahoma on the road if Naz Mitrulong is in the lineup. And I haven't seen one thing from Hallis yet that makes me think that he's ready to play in the Big 12.
Right.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I think he works hard. I think he's coming off of that injury, and I have sympathy for him. But what have you seen from him? I mean, he scored 5 points in the last, like, four games. One of them is against Coppin State. Hallis Cook should be scoring points against Coppin State. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't be that difficult.
Sheron Dorsey Walker could score points against Coppin State.
Yeah, I mean, you see this all the time. And it's like that Bayer kid at Iowa. Like,
right.
My spider sense was going crazy watching him go off against Drake because I always use the example, Charles Boozer. He'd score, like, 20 against these crappy teams. And then the Big 12 would start, and he'd suck.
Charles Boozer.
Old school. I absolutely have concerns about depth. I mean, going six deep in Allen Fieldhouse, I don't know. It's a concern. I'm not panicked because I think Prome, I mean, if you look at his history, he goes 6-7 deep all the time at Murray too. It's just, this is a lot more of a grind than, I don't even know what conference Murray's in. Ohio Valley or
whatever
it is. This is just a whole different world. So, yeah, it's absolutely a concern. And it's the reason why I would put Iowa State third amongst those those three good Big 12. Oklahoma doesn't have a ton of depth either, so that could catch up with them. That's a, they should be having the same conversation down in Norman if they're not.
Okay. This one comes from the forums. It's from Jay Hunzi. Is Red Lobster overrated?
Oh, that's off the wall. I love Red Lobster because my mom's from the South. We grew up eating a lot of seafood. I had a really bad experience at Red Lobster once, though. You get the shrimp that is in the, like, the butter.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've never been to Red Lobster, but I believe you.
Okay, well, they – I don't even know what it's called, but it's like this sautéed, like, shrimp that is in – they soak it in butter,
okay,
basically. And I had one experience at Red Lobster where, let's just say, I did not get out of the restaurant.
Oh, man.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
But I don't like what it does to my intestines.
So is it overrated?
No.
No? Okay.
That bread that they serve you with, like, the cheese in it, that's probably my favorite bread item in the world that I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite pastry.
Is that really a pastry?
I don't know. What is a pastry, actually?
I don't know what the technical definition for a pastry is.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like it has to have sugar in it.
Yeah, so this does, but I'll leave it this. That bread's really damn good.
Okay, so
no,
there we go.
No, it's not overrated.
Regarding the Malou news, is it an indication there is concern over him qualifying?
Probably. However, the way I would choose to look at this is they're being proactive.
Yeah.
And, sure, there's concern. I think there was always concern, though. However, the fact that a move has been made and he's in that place he was at was a cesspool.
Uh-huh.
If you guys read Travis Hines' article, I mean, about his living conditions, it was bad. So, for him now, he's focusing 100% on academics. And that's, to me, this is all good news.
Is he going to DMAC in Ankeny or Boone? Do you know?
I would assume Ankeny.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
Because if it's in Boone, he'd probably be chilling with my roommate's homies that he played ball with at DMAC.
He could be, Jared. I don't know. I once took a class at DMAC in Boone.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heck of a place. I think I've been there once.
Maybe Malou will enjoy the Boone Speedway. Go to the Super Nationals. You ever been there?
I haven't.
Yeah. It's like a redneck paradise.
Like more redneck paradise than Oxford, Mississippi?
No, dude, there's nothing redneck.
What about compared to the Adams County
Speedway? Oh, yeah. Adams County Speedway is like Daytona compared to Boone.
I have been to Adams County, but okay, so...
The way I interpreted that, and I made some calls too with people I trust, that is a good move.
Okay.
For Iowa State. Now, I think it absolutely means there's probably some fear there.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's generally the case with most JUCOs, though.
Right.
So, if you can get him where he's focused on his academics, and he has to be, that's a good thing for Iowa State.
Okay. The next one comes from Cyclonen on the forums. Do you watch Netflix much?
No.
No? So you haven't seen A Making of a Murderer, documentary on?
Everybody keeps talking about it, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Do I need to watch this?
Yes, you do. Because the question is, did Stephen Avery do it? And I can tell you he did not do it.
That's what Andrew Downs and Ross were talking about this yesterday.
He didn't do it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I don't know.
There's a man sitting in jail up in Wisconsin, Chris, that did not do it, and he needs out of prison. He's in prison for life.
I did see that there's, like, however many thousand signatures on some White House petition to get this guy freed.
Yeah, all because of this documentary.
That's interesting. I listened to the Serial podcast.
Oh, the Serial podcast is outstanding. Yes.
Yeah. The second one has really got me going.
Yeah, me
the
too.
Bo Bergdahl thing.
Yeah, I was not very happy that there wasn't one last week.
Yeah, they took a week off for the holiday, which was crap because I wanted to listen to it driving back.
Right, we don't take weeks off here.
No, we don't.
CycloFanatic.com. Why do they take weeks off at Serial?
We keep rolling.
Right.
It seems like a very pro Bo Bergdahl piece.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I have no opinion. I want to hear the rest.
But the old one was pretty pro Adnan too. Yeah. So, you know.
It did. Like, that's what I was trying to explain to these guys yesterday. It's like, I feel like they're trying to brainwash me.
Yeah.
One way or another. But it's still very interesting.
But Sarah Koenig's voice is like the voice of an angel.
It is. I've never looked her up, but I've always wanted to see if she's hot. She's not?
No.
Well, don't ruin this for me.
Okay.
So, no, I have not. I don't have Netflix. I used to have Hulu, and I canceled it. I don't have really time for a lot of that stuff now.
I'll give you my password so you can watch Making of a Man.
Yeah, I'd like to, actually.
Because you need to know if Stephen Avery did it or not. We need to know your opinion.
It seems like a unanimous decision that he's not guilty.
I'm sure there are people – obviously, there are people out there that think he's guilty since he's in prison, but he got framed, man, by the police.
I look forward to checking that out.
Okay.
I will, I promise, because I try and keep up on my pop culture as much as possible.
Yeah. This one's going to be like Serial, I think.
Okay.
Be very highly debated.
Okay.
This one comes from Twitter, @Walt_SciKC. Over under 14 conference wins for ISU men's basketball this year.
Under.
That's what I would take too.
I think if they win 14 games, that would probably win them the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Big 12 champ will lose anywhere from 3 to 5, but I would lean towards 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's what Rob and I kind of thought yesterday too. I think that 12 sounds pretty.
I'll put it this way. If you were to offer me 12 and 6, I would sign up for that right now.
Right. That would be very good.
Because that would get your RPI would be top 10, and you would be you'd be probably a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I mean, 14, if they could get, I'm not saying they can't.
What'd they go last year?
I don't know. All these years of winning kind of string together for me in the Cyclones. I'll look that up though real quick. I remember one of the years that it seemed like they had an awesome year and they were like 11-7. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on. Like, I think that if that's where we're putting the over under, our expectations might be a little high. They were 12-6 last year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The fact that they almost wanted – if they would have wanted Oklahoma, I mean, that's a whole different story.
Right.
But they didn't. So, I would probably put the over-under at 12.
Okay. This comes from @Bilski7 on Twitter. Who is better at their job, Ross or Downs?
Oh, come on. Can I pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
terrible. I can't do that.
PF Flats on the forums, what should ISU's next major athletic project be?
New scoreboard at Jack Trice Stadium. Not new scoreboard, I'm sorry. A new press box.
I could get behind that.
At Jack Trice Stadium. It really, it's one of the worst press boxes I've been to in my career. And it's not even like from a media standpoint, it's just ugly. Like, you've got this beautiful stadium now, and that thing is kind of – it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
So, to me, that – and I think you keep, in this day and age, with possible realignment again, you keep putting money into football is what I would do. Hilton's fantastic. You've got your practice facility in basketball. To me, that is a kind of a no-brainer. I'm sorry. Like, I can't get, like, excited about – not that they don't matter, but like the cross country and like they need facilities too. I get it, but like they just don't produce any revenue.
What?
And
what? They have one of like the best cross country courses in America, don't they?
I don't know.
I know they've hosted like the national championships and stuff a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's great. The wrestling, I mean, their wrestling facility is garbage.
Okay, that.
But
I didn't know that.
I mean, I don't know anything about wrestling, and I don't try to. However, it seems like there's not a lot of support for that program
right
anymore.
Yeah,
from fans to administration to like I don't. They're still practicing in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's one. But I would say the football press box is the easy next choice, because then you could add suites.
Right.
You could up revenue. I heard a long time ago, too, when Paul Rhodes first got here, that that was a priority for him. Now, obviously, he's gone.
Yeah.
But I would think if it's a priority for him, he's had some sort of a discussion with administrators about it, and they were on the same page. So,
right.
And I don't even know how much something like that would cost. But a next big project, to me, that's the finishing touch on Jack Tri-Stadium.
Would you want one that looks kind of like it does now, or would you want it to almost stretch further across the stadium? Like, in your mind, what would it? What would the new one look like?
Anything modern, I guess, would be – and I don't even know the answer to it. But, yeah, I mean, to me, like, that one just goes straight up.
Right, that's what I was saying. Would it be more flat across the rest of the stadium, I guess, rather than four – like, I think – what is it, three levels, four levels?
Yeah.
Straight up, so –
they just need to win some damn games.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as far as adding suites go, I mean, that's really the point of it, because you can increase revenue that way.
Right.
But you got to win some games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
That's pretty much the first thing that it comes down to.
Just because, it's like you're not going to sell a lot more suites if
nobody wants to go to the game.
Correct. And Iowa State has awesome fans, but one thing we don't have a lot of are rich fans.
Right.
So you better be winning some games if you're going to be...
There's a reason our favorite beer is Busch Light.
Yes. Darn right. Well, it's just...
Besides, it tastes good.
It's economics, though.
Right.
I mean, we've got engineers and vets and journalists.
Right.
Which I just threw that one in there for fun. We don't have lawyers and doctors.
No.
So, in farm, we have ag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, before you add X many sweets, like you... But however, then you can make the argument it's hard to win if you don't have the facilities, which I think that we have the facilities now. We're getting there.
Yeah.
But that, I just went on for a long time about that. But the direct answer would be a new press box.
From @KBlueFan on Twitter, will we see Burton starting before the season is finished?
Probably. I think at some point he'll start.
Yeah.
I really like Steve Prohm's approach to this right now, though. And I see the other side. I don't think there's really a wrong decision here. But he's showing confidence in a guy who's helped him win games, in Abdul Nader. And the one thing I was told yesterday when I asked somebody with knowledge is that Burton's still not in very good shape.
Okay.
So trying to get him to play like 30, 35 minutes would be very difficult right now.
Right.
And that's one thing I think that's probably not being talked about enough. So, I would say he'll probably start a game or two at some point. But Steve Prohm made it pretty clear on Monday that he's not considering it at this point.
I don't know what it is about the starting lineup that gets people so worked up.
Yeah, I don't
either. Don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's not. Fred used to go through this too. Fred would get really annoyed with this question constantly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that he would think it would be cool to get in the starting lineup, but it doesn't. If you go in and play well, what's it matter?
Yeah.
You know, if you go in and help the team win, it does matter.
Well, we saw that with Tyrus McGee all the time.
Yeah. Well, even Naz, when his first year, when he really started playing a lot, he came off the bench the whole time.
Yeah, and Matt Thomas started and was playing like 10 minutes a game. And
right.
It's just a matter of I have no problem with the way it is now. This is one of my problems, though, that I do have, and this was annoying me on Twitter yesterday. Is it's like, man, Abdul Nader has not been very good for the last, like, I don't know, 2-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, so you're just going to give up on him?
Right.
I mean, the guy's helped you win games. Like, he helped you win road games last year. He hit the biggest shot of the season so far this year. And you're just going to, you had a couple bad games, screw you, we're going to put you on the bench?
Right.
Like, Burton can still play more than him. But I like what Prohm said, and he's showing confidence in his seniors. And Deontay was very clear yesterday that he's fine in his current role. Mm-hmm. So they've lost to Oklahoma, you know? I mean, they damn near won the game. It's not like we're not in panic mode right now.
Right. How many open scholarships does Iowa State have for next men's basketball season, and how are they likely going to use them?
I'm going to have to pull up my trusty scholarship chart. I don't. I used to have stuff like this memorized. These days, I do not. For next year, I think they're going to have one or two open. Because Brady Ernst is redshirting. And what's his name? The walk-on.
Jordan Ashton.
Jordan Ashton is on scholarship. I would guess they're going to try and get a transfer.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Just because I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a long time they were trying to get another point guard. But I think Donovan Jackson will be the leading scorer on that team next year.
I believe it.
I think he's fantastic. I would guess they go the transfer route. However, nothing would really surprise me. That would be my guess, though. The problem with the transfer route, too, is that it's just so much different than it was when Fred started doing it.
Yeah.
Because now, like, everybody Duke's doing it, too.
Right, everybody does it now.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, there were, like, maybe 20 schools that were trying to get these guys. Now, if a top-of-the-line transfer comes out, like, everybody's after him.
Right.
So Iowa State's got to, you know, everybody's zigging. Now they got to zag a little bit.
Fred was just a trailblazer.
He was.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't give him credit for that, but he caught a lot of flack. I mean, if you guys think back to when Fred's that first couple months he was on the job when he and Otzelberger were taking every transfer you could think of.
Right.
They were getting a lot of flack nationally.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
Well, yeah. Well, who was it? They got a couple right in a row, like right at the beginning, didn't they?
Well, Chris Allen.
Yeah.
Well, then Royce.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anthony Booker. Chris Babb.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's
right. That was the first round of transfers.
And then they got Corey Lucius not long.
And then Corey Lucius was the next year with Will Clyburn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then, I mean, they've got like Nick Weiler Babb will be on the roster next year.
Jamal and Deontay, both of them.
Yeah.
Nader.
Yeah, forget about Nader.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I remember when he first came, or when I first got here, I was like, who the heck is this guy that's always walking around in here? I thought he was a walk-on or something, but no.
No.
Just waiting.
See, the reason I'm a little bit unsure on the scholarship number is this Cameron Lard, who...
Oh, yeah.
Mysteriously committed a couple of days after the signing period.
Oh, yeah.
I could see him ending up at a JUCO.
Okay.
So I'm really hesitant to give, because I know a lot of diehards are probably, well, you haven't answered the question. It's because I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Because he's the one that would be 13.
Okay.
For next year, and I don't know. He might have to go JUCO first and then come to Iowa State. They could place him,
uh-huh.
or, you know, that, right. that stuff happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But if he's not there, I would say they probably take a transfer, which is what I would do. Or, because you get, yeah, they got Jacoby Long, so that was the point guard issue that we were talking about. He's kind of a combo. Yeah, that's my way of directly answering the question. I don't quite know on the scholarships, and who knows if somebody transfers too. I mean, that happens all the time.
Okay,
I don't see any of these guys for next year transferring though. I mean, it looks pretty solid. And the Monte Morris, yeah. I don't know. I don't think he'll be back, but I also know that if it comes down to it, and I'll put it this way. I don't think anybody's planning on Monte being back, but I'm also not ready to say, you know, if he doesn't have many good options in March, why wouldn't he come back too?
Right.
So it's not a cut and dry answer
right.
as far as how many scholarships are available.
From @Haverhill on Twitter, what are the biggest pieces still needed for the 2016 ISU football recruiting class?
Oh, man, you guys are crushing me on the recruiting stuff today. This is stuff that I kind of need to research before I start spouting off about. I'll say this. They want more defensive linemen. I know that.
Okay.
a defensive tackle or two. I would also say that they're likely trying to add a junior college quarterback to the mix. I knew that they wanted the junior college quarterback before the signing period. Uh-huh. Riley Ferguson was one of them. He's going to Baylor. But they got Zeb Nolan. He's a high school kid, and he is on campus right now, or he will be. His school started back up?
No, next week.
Next week, okay. So I would look to that. With Grant Rohatch transferring, they really don't have a legitimate backup for next year. I don't think that kid that the Mangino's brought in is
– Dom DeLira?
Yeah, I don't think he's ready. I'm not saying he's never going to be ready. I wouldn't trust him in a role next year if Joel Lanning were to go down.
Right.
And this Zeb Noland, I mean,
he's a true freshman.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, he's probably not going to be ready. So, I mean, realistically, they're going into the season without a backup quarterback.
You're going to have to move Darius Lee Campbell back to quarterback.
There you go. So, I would guess JUCO quarterback. I know they want more on the defensive line. They were really adamant about adding some offensive linemen to the mix, which it looks like they've done. All I know is this, with this football recruiting stuff, they have really – this class is totally different. Mm-hmm. I mean, than it was when Rhodes left. Tymar Sutton was huge. I know that in a perfect world that Chase Pine, who is committed to Pitt,
oh yeah,
would be a guy – who they would add, and he would be really – that would be a great get if they could pull that off at the final hour. But, yeah, defensive line and JUCO quarterback would be best way to answer that.
We go back to Ted again.
Again?
Thoughts on making West Toledo Rockets clones T-shirts in honor of Coach Campbell's coaching staff?
Go for it. I'm not doing it. But, Ted, if you want to fire it up, go for it, man. I don't – here's the problem with T-shirts, because we've had like a million ideas for T-shirts over the last 7 years since we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And the trademarking stuff is just brutal.
Right.
Like I got called by – or I got an email from Trademark when we did the fundraiser for Nate Oates, because the name of the fundraiser was Cyclones for Coach Oates.
Seriously?
Because the name Cyclones was in there, I got an email from Trademark.
That's stupid.
Yeah, they're really nice. Like, yeah. I'm not. These people are just doing their job. But my point is, that's how like nuts it is.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of just got out the game on that a couple years ago, as far as making we made Liberty Bowl T-shirts for our charter, and that was just hell.
Really?
Getting through that.
Yeah, I bet.
So, Ted, if you want to do that, go for it. But don't put my name on it.
I was gonna say Ted might be able to get away with it by getting going around. I'm
done with the T-shirt game.
Out of the T-shirt game.
Yeah, I'm out.
Jake, this comes from MJN on the forums. Jake was fairly critical of ISU's defensive effort last night on your show.
Jake Sullivan for
yeah,
those.
Oh yeah, Jake Sullivan. How big of a concern is this moving forward?
I don't know. Here's the deal, Jake has also said they are who they are. They're probably never going to change. So would I like to see them play better defense? Yeah. Is it realistic that they're just going to completely that every one of those guys is going to turn into Dennis Rodman and have that type of mentality? Probably not. I'll say this, though, and I think that they've – since the UNI game, they've been really sharp. Like focus wise,
yeah.
I mean, I think that they came out and played really good defense against Cincinnati for their standards, and even Oklahoma. I mean, they still held Oklahoma like 10% below their 3-point percentage. Buddy Hield had to work for. I mean, he scored 22 points on 23 shots or something like that. So, I mean, Jake knows more about it than I do. I wasn't as hard on them as he was, but I also think that Jake comes at it from a different way. He's a coach, you know, so he expects.
Right.
Dive. I think Jake's biggest deal isn't even the defense. Is he doesn't think that these guys dive for loose balls. They're
not out there hustling.
That's what he thinks, yeah. So, yeah, it's a concern, but it's always – we knew it was going to be a concern for this team, especially when you're playing basically with six guys.
Right.
I do think there are times where – you know, they just let them go by. The two guys, I guess, and Nader goes without saying, but Monte and Jameel, I feel like Iowa State can get a lot more out of.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Yeah, especially Jameel.
Jameel,
he's not been very good defensively.
No, he doesn't look like the guy who's the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
No. No, definitely not.
So those are the two I would single out. And Monte especially. Like when you if you think back to Monte's freshman year in Madison Square Garden and Fred, how many times did Fred say, like, I can't take him out of the game because he's so good defensively?
Yeah.
I mean, he's – I don't know if he's regressed. I don't know if he's paying more attention to offense now or what.
Or if he's gotten lazy or something.
If he's gotten lazy, if he's scared to get fouls.
Yeah.
And that's possible when you're playing six deep. I think Deontay could be a lot better too.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'd rather see Deontay scrapping and clawing doing the Dustin Hoge role right now than shooting 70% from three-point range.
Yep, I now, agree.
I'm not going to complain about that. It's great. But I don't think that's sustainable. I think that it is sustainable for him to average more than 3.8 rebounds per game.
From Dahlia Clone on the forums, I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this one. What was the best movie for you in 2015?
Jeez. Like a new movie?
I don't know. See? That's why I'm interested to see what you have to say.
I don't even go to movies. So my daughter was born in February. We have not been to the theater since.
Did you see any movies in 2015?
Well, like I watched some movies at my house.
What?
Well, I watched Zero Dark Thirty the other night.
You're only 3 years late on that one.
Yeah, I know. See, I caught up, though. Like, I had it on my list, and I... Oh, we bought the new Jurassic Park.
Okay, there you go. That one came out in 2015.
We watched that on the night that that Matt Campbell was hired.
Wow.
Totally screwed with my Jurassic Park viewing. I'm trying to even think. I want to go see Creed. That would be 16, though.
That one came out in 15.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen Star Wars yet.
I've never seen any of the Star Wars.
Which is... Man,
sorry.
I can't believe it.
Again, I've had this conversation a million times. I have nothing against Star Wars. I just have never seen them.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm not like a hater.
Yeah.
Did that Denzel Washington flight movie come out this year, last year?
Nope. That was about 3 years ago, too.
Shoot.
I think that was my freshman year of college.
Okay, I went to that one. That was really good. The Sandra Bullock where she's floating around in space?
That one was 2 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Gravity.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of recent ones that I've gone to in the theater.
I haven't even been to that many movies in the theater lately. Star Wars.
And Dumb and Dumber 2 sucked. Oh, I was really disappointed in that.
Yeah.
What were like the big movies in 15?
Star Wars. And Jurassic World. Ted 2.
No, I've never seen any of the Teds.
You haven't seen any of the Ted movies?
No.
Oh my gosh. Mad Max, Inside Out, The Martian.
Read these to me, and I'll tell you if I've seen any of them. I haven't seen any of those.
All right. I think this probably is in order of box office or something. Okay. Star Wars, Mad Max.
No.
Avengers.
No.
Jurassic World.
No. Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Inside Out.
No.
The Martian.
No.
The Revenant.
No.
Ant-Man.
No.
Minions.
No.
The Good Dinosaur.
No.
Terminator.
No. I did want to see that one, though.
I think it was bad.
Okay, so never mind.
The Hunger Games.
No, I've seen all the Hunger Games, though. I do want to see that one.
Okay.
We went to the 50 Shades of Grey movie.
That one came out this year, or last year, I guess.
Yeah, that sucked.
I
thought it was going to be like a softcore porn, and it wasn't anything like that.
The Hateful Eight, that's the next one on my list. I'm going to see that maybe tonight, actually.
I think that looks really good.
Yeah, I might go see that one here this week. All right, so we can determine that you did not see any movies in 2015.
Not really. So I'll say I'm not going to – because I didn't think that the Jurassic Park was that great. So Zero Dark Thirty was the best movie from 2015 for me.
There we go. Chris Williams' favorite movie from 2015 actually was released in 2013. If a spoon, knife, and fork are made of gold, are they still called silverware? This comes from Siowin. 008.
We got to start skipping some of these dumb questions.
This isn't dumb. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's still silverware.
Well, I've already dumped over a lot or jumped over a lot of questions, so.
It's like a Kleenex. Silverware just has, we don't call it tissue paper. You call everything
right.
Kleenex.
Right.
Silverware, I mean, if it's a utensil to eat with, even if it's plastic, it's silverware. You call it plastic silverware. Right?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, it would still be silverware.
Carvers for Math wants to know, why is the CF game time ticker stuck in 2015? Right. Which is right. I'm looking at it right now. And I saw some people posting about this yesterday.
Hold on. Let me look at this. Oh, shoot. It's on the Coppin State game.
It is.
I'll fix that right now. Here's the problem. So you can see that I wasn't being lazy. I usually have my desktop small.
Uh-huh.
And when you have it, see, it disappears.
Yeah, you don't see it.
So in my world, it's just hasn't existed for a while.
Yeah.
I'll get that switch right now. Thanks for the heads up.
From Hunt 26 on the forums, are you still married after last night's marathon game cut into bachelor time?
Oh, it was brutal. The wife was not, we were supposed to watch the batch, and frankly, we were going to do it on the two TV thing, and which is fine with me because I can just focus on the game, and then she's watching her thing, and, but then, we had baby issues.
Oh, okay.
Where Cammy's teething right now, and it's just a disaster. So anyways, we end up having to go upstairs and we're in bed watching it. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll turn the Bachelor on after the game. Well, I thought the game would get over at 10.
Yeah.
And
did not get over at 10.
Yeah. And it turned into 3 overtime. I was in hot water, but hey, you got to work. Man's got to work.
Right.
Man's got to feed his family. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The ticker is updated now.
There you go. Carvers for Math, you will now know how many days, hours, and minutes until the next game. Are you surprised about the ISU women's basketball 2-0 start to conference play?
Yeah, I am. Just mainly that road win.
Yeah.
That was big. I guess I'm not surprised that they won any of those games individually, but when you string them together, that does kind of surprise me.
Uh-huh.
However, I think that, Jared, you're better on the women than I am right now. That team will continuously get better, though.
Yeah.
Like Bridget Carlton, and what sucks is, like, that T.T. Starks went down. Because I think she was coming around, like, she would have never been, like, a game changer in the Big 12 this year, but she's a great piece.
Right.
Off the bench that can do that dirty work that I'm kind of hoping that Burton will do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Jada and Sean are fantastic. So it's what do those around them do?
The thing that really worries me is what are they going to do when Sean is not able to get to the basket?
Yeah.
Because you kind of saw that Saturday when they played Oklahoma State, where they finally played a team that they weren't more athletic than.
Mm-hmm.
And they had girls that were able to stay in front of them, and they weren't able to get to the basket. And this version of Iowa State's just not a good enough three-point shooting team to where before you could – be bailed out by the fact that you would make 23 pointers in a game, you know?
Yeah.
And this one's not going to make that many threes. Really, I think the only actual consistent knockdown three-pointer is Kit. And even then, there's days where she's not very, very good. And, you know, Bridget will knock down some once in a while, and Jada will knock some down once in a while, but you don't really even see them shoot that many.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to run into some trouble when they get against these teams like Texas and Baylor and Oklahoma that are going to have better athletes than them. But when they play the other schools, they're going to be okay. I mean, I think they're going to make the NCAA tournament again. For a while, I was starting to kind of wonder, but I don't see any reason that they won't. And I think that they've got a pretty good chance to finish in that number 4 spot where they were picked in the Big 12.
Yeah, I remember before the Iowa game, a lot of folks doubting if they would make the tournament.
Yeah.
Which now seems... they're in the Big 12. I mean, Big 12, the women's basketball league, I mean, there's really nothing that compares to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the men, we think it's the best, but like some would argue the ACC, sometimes the Big 10 has a shot. But if they would go like 7 and whatever, they'd still be in, I would think. Don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. The thing is, I don't know how good the Big 12 is this year.
Really? Or is that just a thing of the past?
I don't know how good the Big 12 is compared to nationally. Because it's really, I think that only those three teams are the only ones that are ranked. Baylor, Texas, Oklahoma.
Oh,
Oklahoma
okay.
State just started receiving votes in the poll.
Well,
and they just lost on Saturday.
If Iowa State somehow wins at Texas, they'll be ranked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But
should they?
I think last year I told you they had no chance, and they went out and
won. They did. I remember that game. Yeah.
So I don't want to say they have no chance, but I don't think they're going to win.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
So the 2-1 start, though, with that.
Definitely.
Two road games, I'd take that.
Well, yeah, and I think they'll beat Kansas on Saturday. So they can – I mean, 3-1 through 2 weeks.
That's great.
You've got to feel good about that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all pretty much all from the forums. Were you looking for Paul Rhodes on the Vikes sideline after Adrian's fumble the other night in crunch time?
Dude, I called that. Did you see me?
No.
On Twitter, right when the Vikes got the ball back, I tweeted, like, is it bad that I just am expecting my team to fumble here? And he did. He coughed it up.
Yeah.
Right away. I wasn't looking for Paul, but I'm just so ingrained into just expecting the worst.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you're an Iowa State and a Vikings fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing against either of the programs. I hate having that attitude,
yeah.
But you just get kicked in the balls enough times. You just expect it. I'm going to the game on Sunday, though.
Actually, someone said, will you live tweet the Viking playoff game?
No, because usually when I'm in TCF Bank Stadium, I don't get very good cell service. And also, it's going to be freezing.
Yeah.
And I don't foresee myself using the phone very often because I don't want my fingers to.
Very understandable.
Yeah, it's going to be like long underwear,
mm-hmm.
Snow pants. Supposedly the high is like 10 with like negative wind chills. It's like here I am. I'm sick right now. Like It's so stupid for me to go to that game. Like it's so dumb.
But you can't not go.
Well, here's the reason. Like there's part of me like I want to go. But like there's also part of me, man, it's a long drive. I'm tired. But the reason I'm going is because it's like probably the last playoff or last outdoor football game in Vikings history.
Mm-hmm. At least for a long time.
Yeah. So I kind of have to go.
I have good
tickets, too. 20-yard line.
There you go.
And I got them through the Vikings, so I didn't have to pay an arm and a leg for them.
Unless
somebody listening wants to make me a really good offer. And you can have my tickets. And then that will give me an excuse to just sit around and sweat.
Does the additions of Nevada's QB coach and Heacock ease your concerns of a young staff for football? Also kind of piggybacking on that one, what do you expect to see from Iowa State's defense next season? Those are two different questions from two different people, but I figured we could kind of roll them into one.
I really don't know on the what do I expect from the defense.
Yeah.
I would expect it to be more aggressive, and that's only because Wally wasn't very aggressive.
Right.
Although they got more aggressive over the years, I guess. I don't know. On the concerns, part of me likes the fact that they're younger just because these guys, it's almost as if they're so young, they're ignorant to the situation, which I think is what you need in culture change. Like I did see with the Rhodes staff a lot where I felt like some of the stuff we would hear would be like, well, it's a victory if we can keep this game close, where these guys are like, well, screw it. We think we should win every game,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I like that aspect of it. I think a lot of Iowa State fans fear what happened with Chizik, where he just hired all of his buddies. However, I mean, Matt Campbell's only 36. He probably doesn't have a ton of coaching ties to a lot of 50-year-olds out there. So whatever makes him feel comfortable, I think these guys are energetic on the recruiting trail. I like that. I love the fact that they're young and they're trying to make Iowa State hip and they're doing a lot of different things. So I will not criticize them until they give me a reason to.
And last but not least – for this week, from Adam Gray.
Oh, God.
Chris, tell the story of how he verbally attacked two sweet girls at a Vikings-Cowboys game in 2010.
That's not true. He's making stuff up. We were at – it was the Vikings-Cowboys divisional playoff game. It wasn't 2010. It was the year that Favre took them to New Orleans.
Okay.
And then he just got his ankle just destroyed against the Saints. And these gals in front of us, I don't even remember how it happened, but they were really mouthy. And they kept, like, bragging about, like, who their boyfriends were, that their boyfriends, like, played for the Gophers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I simply said, oh, yeah, we kicked their ass last year. Because that was after Iowa State had beaten them in the Inside Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. See, Gray's embellishing. a story.
Leave it to Adam Gray to embellish a story.
Yeah. No, it's there's
why
not,
am I not surprised?
There's not much more to it. Although I will say that was the best sporting event I've ever been at in
Cowboys
my life.
Vikings?
Yeah, it was fantastic. We just kicked the crap out of them.
Uh-huh.
And the dome was so loud. It was so much fun. And that I think part of that is why I'm hanging on to in anticipation for this Sunday.
Yeah.
It just seems stupid. Like, the more I talk about it, I don't know why I'm going to this game. It's going to be freezing. The Vikings are going to lose. It's like a six-hour drive each way or,
right.
You know, round trip.
Yeah.
Like, it's just dumb. Like, it makes no sense why I'm going to this game.
Until the Vikings win.
They're not going to win, though. Marshawn Lynch is playing. They're probably going to lose by 2 to 3 touchdowns. So.
You're just trying to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, and if I don't go, they will win.
Right. And you're going to be so mad that you didn't go.
You know what's sad? Like, I'm getting old. Like, when I was your age, I would have been all about this.
Yeah.
And now
I was going to say, I don't know what you're even thinking about. I would have been there.
See, now I'm like, man, if I stay home, I can get some sleep.
Yeah.
I can, you know, get a few things done around the house. Like, it's just weird. Like, it really is weird when you have a kid. Like,
you're thinking about all the responsibilities that you could get through with.
Yeah.
Rather than going to have fun.
It's crazy, though, because people always tell you that. Like, oh, when you have a kid, it changes everything. And I used to mock those people. It's really true.
Like, so there you go.
I'm thinking about, man, that's a night in my bed that I'm not going to get.
Yeah.
What a loser. So you're telling me to go to the game?
I say go to the game.
All right.
That's my opinion.
I'll nut up and go to the game. I think Gray's going to go with me.
There you go. He'll probably be too cold.
It's going to be freezing. I'm actually going to have to go out and buy some new coveralls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to dress for the occasion.
Will Adam Gray wear coveralls?
I don't know.
If he does, I want a picture of it.
Gray will probably show up underdressed, would be my guess.
He'll show
he'll
up
freeze.
with jeans and a light jacket and some plain white New Balance sneakers.
I can guarantee you that won't be me. I'm going to wear the coveralls.
And they don't make fun of everyone.
Warmest jacket I have, and then I'm going to throw my Warren Moon jersey on over it.
There you go.
I'm going to be ready, be dressed for the occasion. All right, so that's it?
That's all. That's all for this week.
Good stuff.
I agree.
You want to take us out since this is your podcast?
Yeah, most definitely.
Cool.
We'll be back, I assume. Next week.
Yeah, we'll try. It's a weird week. Iowa State doesn't have a game.
Next week they don't?
Well, I don't think so. I was just putting my schedule together for next week before you came over. And it goes Baylor, and then I think they had that week in the middle of the week off, and then they go to Kansas State.
Okay.
So, there we go.
So, we'll maybe be back, maybe not, doesn't.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll do something next week.
Yeah, okay. So, for Chris Williams, I'm Jared Stansberry. Stay tuned to Cyclone Fanatic throughout the rest of the week for all your news about men's basketball, women's basketball, and wrestling. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.